Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Turns out that Chris Collingwood from Fountains of Wayne somehow heard our song, and because he heard we were called Harborcoat, assumed we were an REM cover band.
Hey, this is Jim.
You will hear from Patrick a little bit later in this episode, but for now, you just get me here on Rockin' the Suburbs. On yesterday's very special episode of Rockin' the Suburbs, you heard an interview with Matt Carlson conducted before his performance in Northern Virginia at Lost Rhino Brewing Company. Again, I want to thank the folks at Lost Rhino. They were tremendous hosts. Now, as I promised, today you're going to hear some performance from Matt from that show. We're going to play, I think, four songs here for you from the show, and you'll also hear some questions from the audience, including from myself and from Patrick Foster. So, let's jump right into that, and then I'll talk to you again on the other side.
Thank you so much. So this seems like a crowd that maybe there's a couple people who here who have adult children, like children who are all grown up. That is an extra special, whole unique kick in the pants when they grow up and leave, is it not? So my oldest daughter went off to college, went for a year and a half, went to Columbia College in downtown Chicago, called us one night and said, I don't want to do this anymore. And we said, all right, let's come home. We don't need to waste any more money on that bullshit. She came home, she stayed for the summer, and then she came and told her mother and I in September that she had fallen in love with a boy. And we were like, cool. And then she said, and he lives in Portland, Oregon, and we were like, what? And then she said, I want to go live with him. And as a dad of a 20-year-old daughter, you go, okay. And inside your body goes, but she's not asking for permission. She's telling you she's going to leave, and there's nothing you can do, and that's okay. And I knew that she would be fine. Wasn't worried that she would be okay. I didn't want her to be okay. I wanted her to be happy. I wanted her to thrive. I wanted her to be the awesome person that she is. And so I wanted to tell her in some way that I knew that she would be okay. And that this was the moment at which you find out whether or not you did a good job. Like, this is the most important thing I'm ever going to do in my life is these two people. That's it. I mean, I could cure cancer. Raising two kids is just as important. Sorry. Bringing two cool people into the world and making sure that they're capable of taking care of themselves and being nice to other people. It's the most important work I'll ever do. It doesn't matter what song I write or where I play. It's the best thing I'll ever be a part of. And I wanted her to know that. And I wanted her to know that no matter what happened. And eventually, she called one day and she said, I want to come home. I'm not happy anymore. She called on a Monday. I was there on Friday. I rented the trailer as soon as I got there. I spent 3 days packing her up and 3 days driving her home. It was the hardest 9 days of driving I've ever done in my life, and it's the best road trip I ever took. And so this is a song I wrote for my daughter when she left, and it's the song that I sang in my head as I drove her home. This is called Connection. This is for Matt.
Fuzzy. the speaker's down. I hope you make it out there on your own. We read the scripts and promptly threw it all away. Took for granted there'd be a thousand better days. I could lie and say I don't want you to stay. And you'd see right through my foolish game.
Familiar with a we got a question.
I have a question. Tell me about this guitar, because I noticed it's a bit worn here in a couple of spots. So if you ever seen Willie Nelson's guitar, it's like got holes in it from all the wear and tear of the many years and decades that he's played that guitar. And I'm wondering, do you have a similar thing kind of going on here?
I have done all of this damage. I've done it all. I've had this guitar for 21 years. I bought this in the summer of 2002 with a tax return like a good American. I put that money back in the economy. It's an old guitar, and I've beat it up. It's played thousands of shows. It's got to be thousands now.
Does an acoustic guitar get better, sort of with more holes, more wear?
It develops more character. What I can tell you is that when I sit down to write a song, this is the guitar I play. That other guitar I play more live than I do this one most of the time, honestly. I don't write on that guitar. I don't know why. This is just the guitar I write on. And I write everything on acoustic guitar. I should write on piano, I should write on electric, and I don't. But this is what I do. I mentioned earlier that I grew up in a college town. I grew up in East Lansing. This is a song I wrote about that experience. This is called Transit Town.
The people come and go so quickly here. Can't keep track. Close my eyes, disappeared. When will you come back? Therapy. city's just a stepping stone. And so I guess am I. Everybody else has flown. I've got nowhere to fly. I never really liked it here, even when you were around. And now I put down roots in a transit town.
Thank you so much. Come on up, man.
Journalist wants to ask a question. Professional question.
So the question I have is, how much thought did you put into choosing the name Harbor Code for your band?
Clearly you know what it means. Meaning that you know that it's an R.E.M. song. Okay, yes, it is named after the R.E.M. song. The rationale was that that band, it really felt like I needed to pay homage to R.E.M. in some way. It just felt natural, it felt right. In fact, I don't know if you guys know this, we did a cover of a Fountains of Wayne song for a winter comp that we did last winter. It was for a thing called Bermuda Snowhawk, which is this Christmas comp that comes out every year in Lansing. And bands do covers of holiday songs. And I don't like Christmas music that much, but I love this song by Fountains of Wayne called Valley Winter Song. And so we recorded a cover of it. And the day after it came out, I was getting text messages from friends. And they're like, are you on Twitter right now? Do you realize you're getting tagged? And I had no idea what they were talking about. Turns out that Chris Collingwood from Fountains of Wayne somehow heard our song, and because he heard we were called Harbor Coat, assumed we were an R.E.M. cover band, announced that to all of Twitter, and then an hour later went, wait a second, actually, I'm wrong. This is a band that writes their own music, and they just did a cover of ours. I'm sorry. And then he tweeted again, also, we played too many R.E.M. songs before we were Fountains of Wayne. And that was the extent of my communication with Chris Collingwood over the name of my band. Thanks for asking.
I don't want to make this too personal, Matt, but do you mind talking about your relationship intimately with the capo?
Well, kids, when you learn how to play folk songs, I don't know if you know this or not, everything happens in this shape right here. This is called a G. This is called a D, and this is called a C. And with those three chords, you can play every folk song known to man. And if you take this little thing and you move it up and down the fretboard, it'll take it. So this is a G, right? Right here? This is a G. We put this thing on here and we slide that up. Now it's an A. It's like little guitar man. And so, the two things that you can always notice that will show you an inconfident guitar player, a capo and a very large pedal board. Those are the two keys. Come see the stick arounds and you can see a very large pedal board. So, how many of you are familiar with a book called Welcome to the Monkey House by Kurt Vonnegut? So this is a book of 22 short stories that he wrote that were published in magazines like Collier's and the Saturday Evening Post and Vogue and The Atlantic and places like that. And I read this book on vacation when I was 19 years old. And this was when I was deciding that I wanted to be a songwriter. And I also wanted to be a storyteller. And I wanted to be a writer. And so what happened was I basically had this moment where like my little brain went, well, you could be Kurt Vonnegut and R.E.M. all in one. And every once in a while, I feel like I hit gold and I get to that moment. And I feel like this song is a great example of that. I feel like this is one of those songs where I kind of hit the mark on it. This is a story about this young lady named Katie and her brother, and their mom has split, and Katie's decided that's probably for the best. Their dad's out of the picture. They're two teenagers supporting themselves, and for right now, that's fine. So this is called Better Off Like This.
Tagging at school classes a couple times a week. She always knows the answers and never speaks. It's better no one knows she's a washed up geek. Pulling daily doubles down Hanson's bar. Got the Miller Lite to make a cheap side car. Always drafting notes down to put in her memoirs. There are no excuses, it just is what it is. But Katie says they're better off like this. Her brother's cutting corners over Willow Junior High. And he ain't sitting pretty, but he's getting by. It's been just past a year since Mom's goodbye. The chowing cereal and ramen with that telling meal. The 7-Up to get us set on wheels. As it stands there getting my own funnel of meals. But there are no excuses, it just is what it is. And Katie says they're better off like this. Says they're better off like this. People shake their heads and say it's such a shame. They try to point at folks that they can blame. It's best not to treat life like a parlor game. Best not to treat life like a and there are no excuses, it just is what it is. But Katie says they're better off like this. There are no excuses, it just is what it is. But Katie says they're better off like this.
Thank you so much. In February of 2002, my great-grandfather was 92 years old, and he died, and it was a shock. And I just want you to know, you should all be so lucky. If you live to 92 years old and you don't wake up one morning and people are surprised, you got lucky. Shit went right. We were all shocked. We were disappointed. We were bummed. We were sad. My parents came to me a few weeks later. They said, what if we helped you buy Grandpa Gio's house? And I said, I can't buy a sandwich. And they said, well, we would pay for it, and then you would pay us back on a land contract. And over the course of 3 months, my parents and my wife and I and some friends fixed up the inside of this house. Now, this house had been lived in by my great-grandparents since the late 1930s. So for 65 years, our family had lived in this house. And in 1969, my great-grandmother died very unexpectedly. She got cancer. It happened fast, and she was gone within a few months. And as my granddad got older, he stopped going upstairs. He didn't need the space. He didn't want to go up there. And it basically became this floor of a house that atrophied after she died. He just didn't go up there. And it wasn't like there was a shrine or their room. It was just empty. But it fell apart. And so we renovated this house. And the first weekend that we didn't have work to do, that we were in this house, I sat down at the dining room table on a Sunday afternoon and I wrote this song. I don't know where it came from. And how many of you have read the Bob Dylan book, Chronicles? So he talks about being an antenna. He talks about how there are nights when you're a songwriter and you don't decide you're going to write things. You just start writing and something comes out of you and it comes from a different place. I don't know how I believe in that idea, but if I've ever believed in that idea, I believe in it because of this song. Because I got done playing this song and I played it for the first time all the way through. And at the other end of my dining room table is my 5-year-old daughter, Madeline, who I wrote the song about earlier. And she had these giant tears in her eyes. And she said, "Daddy, don't play that song anymore. It makes me so sad." And I looked down at my notebook and I realized that I had written a song about the first summer that my great-grandfather went back to our family cabin, which is this sacred space that we have. And I imagined what it would be like for him to go there all by himself without her. And then in the years since I've lost my dad playing this song, it has taken on a whole different meaning. And so the mystery, Patrick, is where did this song come from and how does it keep evolving and why did it come to me? And I don't know, but I'm just grateful for it. So I'm going to leave you all tonight with a song that maybe is the most important emotional thing I've ever written because it's the most personal and the most meaningful to me. And it's the song I played the most times. It's called Cabin by the Lake, and I want to thank you all so much for being here. It means so much that you're here and that you're supporting live music. And I don't know if I mentioned this or not. I quit my job. This is a real leap of faith. Everyone who's been here tonight, thank you for helping make a dream come true. This is called Cabin by the Lake.
Nighttime falls, the crickets start to sing. Cicada's moment autumn's on its way. I can smell a campfire over there. The summer's gone and a chill is in the air. This is my first summer here all alone. In our cabin by the lake, our second home. But I feel as though I'm dying on. Now you're gone, there's no one to comfort me. There's no one that I can sing to sleep. Now you're gone. Birds came back, we had cardinals all along. I turned to tell you and then I remembered you were gone. Now you're gone, there's no one to comfort me. And there's no one that I can sing to slay.
getting late. Guess I better hit the hay. Who knows, maybe soon I'll be on my way. Oh, I don't think I've ever felt this so. You know I miss you like a sickness in my soul. And now you're gone, and there's no one to comfort me. And there's no one that I can sing to sleep.
Thank you so much, y'all. Really appreciate you.
All right, and again, thank you. Matt Carlson for hanging out with us and playing some music and answering our questions and all sorts of foolishness. We so appreciate it. Now, for you peoples, if you are interested in this, and you should be, you can buy Matt Carlson's music from his bands, The Stick Arounds or Harbor Coat, or I think even the Pantones music there as well. Physical product available and other merch at phonophorerecords.com. And that is PHONOPHOREERECORDS, phonophorerecords.com. You can find all that stuff there. I also want to mention that Matt has a Substack. If you don't know what that is, just go to whatamimaking.substack.com. Again, whatamimaking.substack.com. And there you can find Matt's various musings, including his reflections on the tour that he took, and also his podcast, What Am I Making? Patrick and I were on that podcast before. It just features creative types and also us. All right. Where do we go from here? Well, we're going to play out with a studio recording by Matt's band Harbor Coat, featuring, of course, Matt Carlson. This is a song called Go to Sleep, and I think we could all use a nap after all of this, right? It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan, and we will talk to you later.
We just run in circles, round a circle. I wish I could.
I think the previous caller suggested you play Wagon Wheel. I think that's what they meant, first off.